Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Ksubas Daf Nun Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 16 lines from the top of Daf Nun Tes. Before we begin the actual Gemara text, we glance at the topic heading that we have in the margin that reads Biur Shitas Shmuel. We're going to be focusing and analyzing the opinion of Shmuel Beinyan Odom Makdish Dovor Shelo Bali Olam. Can a person sanctify something that hasn't come to be yet, that is still in the future? So now we turn to the Gemara itself. Omar Shmuel Halocha Kereb Yochanan Hasandlar. The halacha follows the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Sandlar. The result of that is that a person cannot makdish the Mosar Maisiyadayim. We learned back on the Nun Chesomet Beis during our previous shiur that a woman who produces more than the basic amount that she is expected to produce in terms of work output, the Mosar, if a husband sanctifies that, so according to Rabbi Meir, we saw that the Hekdish, that the sanctification takes hold. But according to Rabbi Yochanan Asamblar, he said Chulin, the sanctification that the husband attempted to impose on the Mosar Maisiyadayim doesn't take hold. And the conclusion is that, as far as Rabbi Yochanan Sandler is concerned, a person cannot be makdish that. And the thinking is that it's something that hasn't come to be yet. She hasn't produced this extra output, and therefore the sanctification doesn't take place. That's the thinking right now. Now the Gemara asks, Umi Omar Shmuel Hachi? Notice this question lasts a number of lines. Does Shmuel really say that a person cannot sanctify something that hasn't come to be? V'hotnan, we have the following Tanaic source. Konam shani oise lepicha. Einot tzorach lahafer. If a woman declares the work output, her profits, a konam. Konam is a word that we'll see more in Maseches Nedorim, indicating prohibition. It's like saying that my output should be like a sacrifice, something sanctified. And she focuses her iser, her prohibition, on her husband. She says that that which I produce shall be konam, shall be usher. So the Tanakhama says, Einot tzorach lahafer, the husband does not have to even bother annulling that vow. It doesn't take hold, because that which she produces belongs to the husband. It's his. So she can't forbid something on someone who is the rightful, the one who is entitled to it. Rabbi Akiva Oimer Yofer Shema Tadif Olov Yeser Min Haroilo. Rabbi Akiva says it's worth the husband's while to annul it, because she might produce more than the basic, we call the Mishkal Chamesh Sloim, the basic amount, and if he doesn't annul it, so that will be prohibited to him. And the amount above and beyond which she must produce is not his, and that's something she could sanctify. So the recommendation is that the husband should annul the vow. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omar Yofer, he should annul this vow. And here we want to add that the annulment is not directed just at the Mosar. Even the basic Maisi Yodayim, the basic work output of the woman, which she included in her vow, in her prohibition, that vow needs to be undone. Why? Shema yigar shena v'te asura lachzor. The husband might one day divorce her, and because of this prohibition that she has imposed, it will then take hold. Notice the reference to the future aspect of things. When he divorces her, so she's no longer bound to him, and the whatever she produces will be prohibited to him, and it'll be also for him to take her back, because once her output, her work production is prohibited, he won't be able to keep himself from benefiting from her in the event that he were to take her back. So by the vow taking hold, he won't be able to ever take her back. V'yomar Shmuel halacha k'Reb Yochanan ben Uri, and Shmuel rules that in fact the halacha follows Reb Yochanan ben Uri. So what is Reb Yochanan ben Uri suggesting? What is he saying? He's saying that the husband should annul the vow, which covers the basic Ma'is Yodayim, because that vow will take hold. And Konam, as we mentioned before, is a type of sanctification. So that from here you could see that a person's sanctification can take hold of something that hasn't come to be yet. And Rashi points this out a few lines down from here. V'yomar Shmuel halacha alma lichshigishena chal haneder. When he divorces her, that's the point in time at which she's no longer bound to produce Ma'is Yodayim for him, obviously. The nether will take hold, and we explained the nether is a form of sanctification. She used the word konam. Alma odam makdish davar shelo boli olam shadayin lo girsha. You see that she has the power to prohibit something that hasn't come to be. He hasn't divorced her yet. So we have a problem. On the one hand, Shmuel was ruling, like Rav Yochanan HaSadlar, that husband cannot makdish the moser ma'is yodayim. It hasn't come to be yet. And here we see that the konam that the woman takes hold, even though the situation hasn't come to be yet. The house marking that you see and the numbering that accompanies it represents four answers to resolve Shitas Shmuel. This numbering continues till Amud Beis. You'll see Rav Ashi appearing as number four. The Gemara continues. Ki Omar Shmuel halacha k'Reb Yochanan ben Uri, the statement of Shmuel's ruling like Reb Yochanan ben Uri, that is Lehadofa. That's a reference to the amount that's above the basic amount that she is obligated to provide for her husband. Now Rashi is quick to point out that this response nevertheless leaves room for still asking the question. The Hadofa also is something that hasn't come to be yet. So this doesn't really answer the question. Nevertheless, having said this, this is going to lead us into other questions. So you can see this is found in Rashi. Ki Omar Shmuel, we're looking at Rashi together. Halach Reb Yochanan ben Uri lahadofa komar, klomar halacha the yofer, the halacha of Shmuel is that the husband, the halacha following Reb Yochanan ben Uri's ruling, the husband shall annul the vow. Yes, he shall annul the vow. V'lav mitame, but not for the same reason. The ilu l'Rabbi Yochanan, ikur ma'is yedeo tzorach hafora. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, the basic ma'is yedayim needs hafora, needs that vow to be annulled regarding the basic work output. Ushmuel, not so. Rather, mishum hadofo shema tadif ala roi hu de omar yofer. Shmuel's concern is only with regard to the extra that she might produce. Vashtanami havi motzda kshuyis of sof lo bali olam de holo nase. Still, you could ask the question, but even the hadofa hasn't come to be. So how does that solve the problem we raised with Shmuel before, giving us the impression that a person cannot makdish the Dover Shalom Ali Olam Elo Akshi Le Kushya Achrita. Rather, the Gemara is going to present another question. So let's continue in the Gemara. Velema, if that's Shmuel's intent, then he should have said Halacha Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Lahadofa, that the halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri regarding the extra amount, that the hafora is not for the basic Maisi Yadayim which she is bound to her husband, but regarding the extra. Inami, another way Shmuel could have posed things is Ein Halacha Ketanakama. The Tanakama simply said he doesn't have to annul, and Shmuel is saying that an annulment is necessary. Well, why didn't he say that? Why didn't he just say Ein Halacha Ketanakama? Inami, another possibility for Shmuel to have stated things simply, could have said Halacha Kerabi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva spoke about Hadofa, that the annulment should be for the Hadofa. Now, since Shmuel didn't say any of these, let's say, preferred expressions, so there's something wrong with this particular number one answer. Elo Omer of Yosef. So we go back to the drawing board, realizing we have a question. On the one hand, Shmuel said that the halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan Hasandlar, that the one who is maktish the mosar, it remains chulin, meaning eino the maktish dover shel bali olam. On the other hand, Shmuel is heard to have ruled like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, which indicates that hafora is needed on a dover shel bali olam. So Rav Yosef says, koinomois koamris, are you raising your question from a source dealing with a vow taken in the konom fashion? Shiny koinomos, a vow using the word konom is different. We have to point out, and this is a point that Rashi makes when you study Rashi, that as opposed to standard hekdesh, when someone sanctifies something, his sanctification renders the item forbidden to everyone. It renders it forbidden across the boards. When someone sanctifies an animal to the Beis HaMikdash, so that animal now belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, and no one is allowed to benefit from it. When someone uses this kind of language, konam, it's a specific, personal type prohibition. It's a focused prohibition. It's not a general population imposed prohibition, but it's a prohibition imposed on a person, on a specific individual. So, with that in mind, Rav Yosef says koinomos are different. Mitoch she'adam oiser peiros chaveroi olav. Adam makdish davar shelo bali olam. Through konam, a person can prohibit peiros chaveros, someone else's fruit, on himself. So that if A is the speaker and he's looking at Mr. B, A says that I want to prohibit on myself, Mr. A, Mr. B's fruits. Now, Mr. B's fruits are not a possession of Mr. A. He doesn't own them. They're not his. And yet his vow, when he phrases it in the konam fashion, it takes hold. This is as opposed to a person, for example, cannot makdish, Mr. A cannot sanctify Mr. B's fruits. They're not his. But when you use konam, your vow does take hold, even though it's something that that's not in your possession. And just like the konam has power over things that hegdish ordinarily would not have power, likewise, adam makdish dover shelo b'olam, a person can also sanctify something that hasn't come into being yet. So that when you say adam makdish, I'd just like to add to this b'loshon konam, which was the case in the source with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So that We mentioned already that Rashi makes this point that since Konam takes place in a situation where you don't have full control, in other words, you can't makdish someone else's produce, but you can prohibit on yourself through Konam someone else's produce, so too when you're dealing with a davar shelo bali olam, it also works. Omar le Abaye Bishlama Adam Oyser Peros Chavero Olav. Abaye questions Rav Yosef and he says, I understand that a person can prohibit his friend's fruits on himself. Shekein Adam Oyser Perosov Al Chavero. Just like I can prohibit my fruits on my friend. So that when it comes to the example that Rav Yosef cited about a person's effectiveness in assuring fruits, so when you don't have control over one side of the equation, that doesn't mean that the prohibition can't set in. So that is we can see that just like I, and no one would disagree with this, I can prohibit my fruits on someone else. I therefore am able to prohibit someone else's fruits on myself. However, ye aser davar shelo bal li'olam al chavero. But to use that example of my being able to aser someone else's fruits on myself to serve as a basis for the woman assuring the work production on her husband because of that should take hold sometime in the future, that's a little far fetched. Shekein ein odom oiser peros chavero al chavero. When you have no control over both ends of the equation, so then the neder, the vow, won't take hold. So just to go over this point again, when dealing with a situation where we have control in one side of the equation, either it's yourself or the fruits, so then the vow can take hold. But take for example, someone tries to prohibit someone else's fruits on that other party. That doesn't work. Mr. A says to Mr. B, you know, Mr. B, I want your fruits to be usher on you. That doesn't work. So by the same token, says Abaye, how can someone's vow take hold on something that A, on one level you're talking about preventing an item on someone else, and B, the item hasn't even come into existence yet. We look at Rashi on the last narrow line. Omer le Abaye, ma raya peros chavero olav lekan. How can you, Rav Yosef, try to explain the ruling of Shmuel like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri based on the example of someone prohibiting someone else's fruits on himself? Shehein peros, because the case over here is a case that would more likely parallel peros chavero al chavero, where the speaker is prohibiting the other party's fruits on that other party. The achshav, with regard to the maisi odayim of the married woman, he mishubedes lo lemaisa yodeha. She is bound to him with regard to his work production, her work, that is her work production. It's not fit for her to impose a konam prohibition. You said that it would take hold. That is, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said it would take hold when he divorces her. And as we said before, this is a davar shelo ba'olam; it hasn't come into existence yet. Now, we had made mention before in our explanation that in the case of the lady asring, the married woman asring her mice yadayim on her husband, and the expectation of his of that the idea of that taking hold when it comes into when he would divorce her, we said that that doesn't have a precedent in the case of a person prohibiting his fruits on his friend, because in the case of someone prohibiting his fruits on his friend, so he, the individual there who is vowing has control over one element. In the case of the vow taken by the woman, she has no control over either element. And this analysis you can see in the third to last Tosfos on the page. At the end of the Tosfos, he says, "Lefi sheshnehem einom birshuso." Both are not in his power. Just like the case of someone prohibiting his own, someone else's fruits on someone else. Therefore, Rav Yosef's answer falls away by virtue of Abaye's objection. Therefore, we go on in the Gemara. Elo Omar Rav Huna Vreid Rav Yoshua. Boimeres, the woman who is vowing in the source with Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, is saying, Yikachu Yodai Looisehem. Let my hands be sanctified with regard to their work production. Diodayim isnu bolam. The hands exist. So that with this answer, you don't have the Dover Shelo Bali Olam problem whatsoever. So that Shmuel, in paskeing earlier, like Rabbi Yochanan HaSandlar, that the Mosar doesn't become sanctified because it's a Dover Shelo Bali Olam. That's right. You don't sanctify things that haven't come into being yet. And Rav Huna Rav Yeshua is explaining that Rav Yochanan ben Nuri's point covered something that already existed, namely her hands. The Gemara asks, "V'chi komra hachi mi mekatcha hamishabdole?" So even if she were to say that, would it take hold? She is bound to her husband. The Amra, well, where she says l'chi migrasha. That means that I want my hands, which exist right now, to be sanctified with regard to their work production upon my divorce. At that point, so she's no longer bound to him. Now, as we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice a new geometric form on the side under our Tat Mivnes, is a subheading, a substructural heading. This is a ma'akav. A ma'akav is an attempt to keep track of a back and forth discussion. The narrow part of this trapezoid facing upwards represents Kushos al Hesber number 3. The inverted trapezoid or volcano shape represents Tshuva's responses. So the Gemara asks on Rav Huna's explanation, Umi iko midi, is there anything, de ilu hashta lo kodesh, ulakame kodesh, that when the speaker is speaking, the sanctification doesn't set in, but it will set in later on. Gemara, or I should say the Rashi explains this Gemara, 4 lines from the bottom. Umikomidi klomar tiratsta lo boli olam de malocha. You explained the element of that which hasn't come into existence yet, where we said vows don't take hold with regard to the work element, and that was through the answer that we gave of yikachu Yodai lo sehem, where the focus of the neder of the vow was on the hands that are around. However, there's still a problem. Lo boli olam de gerushin lo tiratsta. You're still dealing with a point in time that hasn't arrived yet, namely the divorce. Dilu hashta les lo reshusa lagdushe. Right now, she doesn't have the right to sanctify. She is bound to the husband. Vehechi kodesh lekameh. Once again, so this answer that he gave by saying lechi mikrasha sort of begs the question. If the whole issue was that Shmuel originally ruled that sanctification concerning things that haven't come to be yet does not take hold, how come here does it seem to take hold? So the Gemara responds. We go back to the Gemara. Omar Rebeloi, Alomalo, why does that bother you? Why does this future aspect bother you? For we have a precedent for these working. Ilu ho'imer lechavero. Imagine someone says as follows. Sodezu shani moicher loch. This field that I'm about to sell you, when I buy it back from you, tikdash, I want it to be sanctified. Milo kocha, would anyone say that it doesn't become sanctified? It does. Now, when's the sanctification to take place? At a future point. So it works. So why should it be a problem for us to say that the woman's vow will take hold when she becomes divorced? Maskif law Rav Yirmiyah, midomi. Rav Yirmiyah then now challenges Rav Eloi. He says, how can you compare this case with the field and the situation of the woman? Hasam, in the case of a person who is currently the owner of a field, who is about to sell it to someone else, in that case, biyodoi lahakdisha, it's in his power to sanctify it right now. Right now, it's his. So since he has control over it right now with regard to immediate sanctification, so he has control over the future as well. However, hacha, in the case of the woman, ain't biyodoi legaresh es atzma, she doesn't have the power to divorce herself. The husband has to initiate the divorce. She can't divorce herself. Holo damyo, and if you want to keep this field parallel going, I'll show you how we still have a problem here. This would be similar. Elo imer lechavero sodezu shemacharti loch, the field that I sold you in the past. In other words, I don't have control over this field now. It's yours. When I buy it from you, so I want it to be sanctified. The low kacha, it doesn't. The sanctification doesn't take place. Maskif law Rav Papa. So Rav Papa now has a response to Rav Yirmiyah. Me dummy, how does your objection compare though to the case of the woman? Hasam, in the case that you cited, gufa uperos biyada delokeach, the field in question where we said the sanctity doesn't take hold is where the basic field itself and the produce is in the possession of the other fellow. So you have no control over something that's not in your possession whatsoever. Hacha, in the case of the woman, gufa biyada, who her body is hers. It's true that her obligations are right now not hers. She's bound to the husband, but her body is hers. Ha lo damya elo liyomer lechavero. If you want to show how the woman's sanctification could take hold, think about the following parallel. Someone says to his friend, we continue at the top of Omid Bey, Sodezu She Mishkanti Loch, this field that I set up as collateral for you. In other words, I have this field here and I had borrowed money from you. I still owe you money, and I gave you a field as collateral. Mashkon. This field that I gave to you as a mashkon, lichshefdeno mimcha, when I redeem it from you, tikdash, I want to declare it sanctified. Tikotcha, that works. So that even though right now he's not in control of it, he's given it over as collateral, this future element, this future-oriented sanctity takes hold. Likewise with the woman. She's right now bound to the husband by as far as her work production is concerned. But when the divorce takes place, so then she's in her own control. Maskif lo Rav Shisha Brei Dravidi. Now here, did not mark this maskif with a geometric form, because in terms of the direction of things, Rav Shisha is in agreement with that which has been said till now, but he doesn't like the example with the Mashkon, the field and Mashkon case that was given. But in terms of the direction that he takes, he's trying to take the same direction as Rav Papa did, to show, but he'll have to do it through another example, to show how the sanctification should be able to take hold. So that's why we're not changing the direction of the discussion. It's a focused kind of question on the mushal, on the analogy. That's it. So, Maskev Rav Shisha Brei Dravidi, me dummy. How does your case with the field and the collateral compare to the case of the woman? Hasam biyado liftoso. There, the person who borrowed money can redeem it right now. There's an element of immediacy and hence control. Haha, in the case of the woman, ain biyado legaresh atzma. She doesn't have the power to divorce herself. Ha lo damya elo liyomir lechavero. If you want to, we'll say we'll keep the field and collateral analogy going. You'll see the following analogy would be more accurate. A man says to his friend, "Soda zushim ishkanti loch leeser shonim." This field that I've given to you is collateral for 10 years. That means that for 10 years, you have the right to benefit from its produce. It's yours for 10 years. Then when I pay up the loan or redeem it from you 10 years hence, I want to declare it sanctified. The sanctity takes hold. Notice that we've dashed underlined the kotcha, just like it appeared right before of Shisha Brei Dravidi on the second line from the top, showing that we're going in the same direction as Rav Papa did, just using a different analogy, where the owner of the field was not able to redeem it immediately, just like the woman was not able to divorce herself. Maskif lo Rav Ashi. Now Rav Ashi, he questions Rav Shisha's moshal, and he also questions his conclusion. That's why we have the repositioning of this into this geometric form, the volcano shape, presenting a problem, a question. So Maskev Rav Ashi, mi domi, hasam. How can you compare? How can you, Rav Shisha, compare the case of the 10-year collateral to the case of the woman? There, we can guarantee you that 10 years hence, this man, the borrower, has the power to redeem his field. The woman never has control over her own divorce. So, being that she has no control over that future element, why should, if Shmuel is going to rule like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, he's in effect saying that a person makdish dover shelo bali olam, when before he had ruled like Rabbi Yochanan Hasandler regarding the Mosar, Rabbi Yochanan Hasandler indicating that ain't other makdish dover shelo bali olam. So we haven't resolved the Shmuel problem. Elom Ravashi, kainomos koamris. Ravashi goes back to the konomos element of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's ruling in the source upon which Shmuel, according to whom Shmuel ruled. Yes, the konomos thing is different. In general, ain oda makdish dover shalabala, but when you introduce a vow in the konomos form, shiny konomos are different, to kedushas haguf ninu. You're imposing on the item that was the focus of the konam, inherent sanctity. There's a difference between someone who is makdish an item to the Beis HaMikdash. When someone is makdish an item to the Beis HaMikdash, so they're in effect sanctifying the value of the item. A person, for example, can makdish a ladder to the Beis HaMikdash. He can makdish his car to the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash then is said to be the owner of the value of that item. And the item is then redeemed and the value is given to the Beis HaMikdash. However, there are forms of sanctity whereby you impose inherent sanctity. For example, if a person has an unblemished kosher variety animal like a cow, a kosher variety domesticated animal, a behemoth, a cow, a sheep, a goat, and he sanctifies it, that cannot be redeemed anymore. That gains something called kedushas haguf, inherent sanctity. Well, kainamos has that element too. And along with that comes the following halachas. Kainamos represents kedushas haguf ninu, uchidurava, diyoma rava, hektish, chometz, v'shichur, mafkiin, midei shibud. Three halachic entities, mafkiin midei shibud, they cancel any liens that might have been there beforehand. For example, if a person owed money and he told the creditor, "If I don't pay you money, then I want you to know you can collect from my cow." So he was mishabed. He was mishabed his cow to the loan. He imposed a lien on the cow as a means of payment for the loan. And then the owner of that cow turned around and sanctified it as a korban, as a sacrifice. That undoes the lien that the creditor had on the cow, and that creditor will simply have to find another means of collection. With regard to chometz, Rashi describes that, and shichur likewise has to do with a person who said to a creditor, "If I don't pay the loan, then collect from my slave." And then the owner of that slave who owed the money, he then freed the slave, making the slave a full-fledged Jew. The freedom takes hold, and the person who owed the money, the creditor was trying to collect the money, will have to find another source. So with that in mind, so the woman we said the whole time she was bound to her husband, but she used a konam expression, and that undoes the shibud, the obligation that she has to the husband. The Gemara asks, well, if that's the case, we go back into the Gemara, says v'nikdashu mehashto, so then it should become sanctified now. Why does, in the source with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, did he speak about that the husband ought to annul the vow immediately, because otherwise it will take hold, because he might divorce her. And then it will take hold. But if you're saying that konam is mafkia midei shibud, it undoes any obligations, it should be sanctified, then her work production should be sanctified from right now. The Gemara says, as far as that immediate element is concerned, almua rabbonon l'shibudei debal, the rabbonon increased the husband's claim on her work to be a claim stronger than the claim a creditor has on his loan collection, and rather they made the husband like a purchaser, like a lokeach. In other words, his claim to her work production is as if someone who had bought an item, and therefore she is totally bound. And therefore the hektish, even though it's mafkia shibud, it's not mafkia the husband's current claims on it. So let's read that phrase again. Almua, rabbon almu, means they strengthened. Rabbon and strengthened the shibudei, the baal, the husband's claim to her work production, ki hechi delo tiktish mehashta, so that it will not become sanctified from right now. So that you have, on the one hand, since konam was used can undo the shibud, but not in an immediate sense. So the konam aspect, we'll say, overcomes the future problem, the dover shelo ba'oli olam problem. It's mafkia the shibud, but you don't see a manifestation of it immediately because of this last point that the Rabbanon upped the increased the Baal's claim on it. Before we continue, we glance at the side of the Gemara, the Nosei, the topic heading. We see Melochot she'ishu chayav lasos avur baila umahi yicholo lahavchis im hi machniso shvachos. Maybe just before we go on, we'll go over this topic heading again. I just didn't want to leave any loose ends from the previous discussion, and that is that Shmuel, we should realize that as far as the problem we raise with Shmuel's ruling, his ruling like Rabbi Yochanan Sanler, that a person cannot be makdish the moser maisir dayim on the grounds that it's a dover shelo bal olam, that's true with regard to standard sanctification. When it came to Shmuel's ruling like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, which seemed to run counter to this, because we saw sanctification taking place in the event that the husband divorces the wife, and therefore it was advised for the husband to annul it now, otherwise the vow would take hold, even though it seems to be a dover shelo bal olam. So we answered that that was a case of koinomos, and koinomos is different. So you basically ain't all the makdish dover shelo bal olam, and when you get into the realm of koinomos, so a different set of laws apply. So there's no contradiction in Shmuel. So now, let's repeat the new topic heading. The Nosei Melochos Sho'isha Chayeves Lasos Avur Baila, work production that a woman is obligated to do for her husband. And let us say of a woman that enters the marriage along with maidservants. So the maidservants that she brings into the marriage along with her, she owns maids, she owns servants, shouldn't they be able to do those things? So now the Mishnah. V'elu melochos she'isha oisa labailo. The following are services, are efforts that a woman must do on behalf of her husband. Teichenes has to do with grinding wheat into flour, ve'oifa, and bakes, mechabeses, washes, mevashel, washes clothing, mevasheles, cooks food, menikos, bina, and nurses her child, matzas lo hamita, she puts on the bedding of their beds, ve'oise betzemer, and she does wool work, she spins wool. If the woman entered the marriage with one maidservant, lo tochenes velo velo mechabeses, the maidservant will take over those aspects of a wife's obligations. Shtaim, if she brings in two maidservants, then in addition to the dropping of the wife's obligations of tochenes oifen mechabeses, ein mevasheles vein menikas bina, those two more drop. The cooking and the nursing. Shalosh, if she brings into the marriage three maidservants, ein matzas lo amita vein oisa betzemer. The wife doesn't have to make the beds anymore, nor do any wool work. Arba, if she brings in four maidservants, yoshevis bekatedra. Then she sits bekatedra, she sits without a literal translation, it means she sits on the couch. Rashi says Yeshevas Gajer Lo Titrach Bishvilo, she doesn't do anything for him. Leilech Bishlichus Lo Chavitz Mibayis Aliyah, the wife doesn't even have to bring things from downstairs to where the husband might be sitting upstairs. She just sits she can sit still all day if she should want. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Afilu Echnisa Lo Mea Shvachos, Rabbi Eliezer with a very insightful remark
says even if she brings in 100 maid servants, Kaifalazis Bitsemer, the husband can force her to do something, to work with the wool. Shabbatola Mavio Lide Zima. Non-activity. Batola. This non-activity leads to Zima. Zima has to do with promiscuity, with immorality. Rav Shimon Leomer, Af Hamadir Es Ishto Milasis Melocha, if a man would take a vow that would lead to the woman not doing any Melocha, Yotzi V'yiteng Suba, that's grounds for divorce, he should divorce her, pay her her ksuba, because what the husband has done, he's done a major disservice to her. He's created a situation where she'll have nothing to do, because anything she does will create prohibition because of the vow. And if she's left without anything to do, that will shabbatolo, inactivity, mevio lidei shiamum, results in, Rashi says, shigaon. We can say insanity. So you see in this Mishnah, two very insightful comments about the perils of inactivity, of batola, its ability to promote promiscuity, immorality, as well as insanity. The Gemara asks about the first activity mentioned. It's a technical question. It's almost a grammatical question. Teichenes sakadaitoch. Rashi says, Teichenes sakadaitoch, do you mean that the woman does the actual grinding? The grindstone, which happened to be a very heavy entity, a grindstone was attached to a water wheel, a water paddle, which was of course situated next to some type of flowing body of water, a stream, a brook, a river, and the flow of the water would turn the water paddle, which was attached to the grindstone, and that's what ground the wheat. So the Gemara asks, wow, how can you say that the woman does the grinding? Elo'emo, what the Mishnah describes as the woman's obligation is matchenes. And Rashi says, Mechina tzorchei tchina neisnosu b'afracheses v'koletes hakemach. She does the other associated activities, not the actual grinding of the grains, but she will pour the raw grain into the afracheses, the funnel that enables the grain to reach the area between the grindstones. And then she also will collect the kemach, the flour, at the other end. So that's what the woman's tochenes obligation is. V'boy seima. Another approach is actually quite literal, that she does the actual grinding. Berechaya diyoda, a hand-operated grinder, a small hand-operated grinder. Masnisen delok Rabbi Chiya. The Gemara points out that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Chiya. Our Mishnah indicates things that a woman must do that will cause liability or depreciation of the woman's beauty. The Tony Rabbi Chiya, Ein Isha Elo Liyofi, Ein Isha Elo Labonim. Rabbi Chiya tells us that a woman is for her beauty. In other words, a man marries a woman, and her beauty is an essential element that must be preserved. A woman is married for producing children, for creating a family, creating the continuity of the Jewish people. V'tani Rabbi Chiya, Ein Isha Elo L'Tachshite Isha. A man marries a woman. He marries her for the purpose of buying her adornments, jewelry, cosmetics, for her to look pretty and to increase her attractiveness. The Tony Rabbi Chiya, Haroitz Shiadein Es Ishto, Rabbi Chiya in the same vein of thought. It says a person who wants his wife to have a ya'adein, improved complexion, yal bishena klei pishton, he wants to, we said complexion, Rashi says, she'adein eziva, her glow. So he should clothe her with klei pishton, with linen clothing. Harotsha she'albin as bito, if he wants his daughter to become have a bright, a light complexion, yachileno efroichin, he should feed her chicks, v'yashkena cholov somach lepirka, and provide milk for her to drink as she enters puberty. Umeniko es bina. The Mishnah mentioned that a wife is obligated to nurse her child. There's a no say topic heading on the side, which reads machlokes b'sham beis hillel imisha mishubedes lahanik es bina. It's a Tanaic controversy. Is a woman obligated to nurse the child? We have a mivneh, a structural note, a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the back and forth style of more. The narrow point facing up, she'la, the question is raised, lema masnisin deloke beishamai, should we say that our mission is not like beishamai? And the inverted triangle, tshuva, a response. So the Gemara asks a question, you notice it's a long question. Lema masnisin, our Mishnah said the woman is chayeves lonik es benal, should we say that our Mishnah is the lo kebeishamai? Desanya, nodro shelo lohonik es benal. A woman vowed, I'm not going to nurse my child. Beishamai omrim, shemet es dod mipiv. Without the literal translation, basically, Beishamai saying, she does not have to nurse. She is not bound to that. Shemet es dod mipiv literally means she removes the breast from the child's mouth. Beishamai, beishil omrim, kaifu minikoso. The husband can force her to nurse the child. Nisgarsha, if there is a divorce, eino kofa, then the former husband cannot force her to nurse the child. Vimhoya makira, if the infant recognizes the mother and doesn't want to nurse from anyone else, no sein lo schara, then the former husband will compensate the former wife. V'kofa umanikosoi mitnei asakonen, when upon receiving compensation, financial compensation, then she is obligated, she's forced to nurse the child because of the danger that this poses to the child if she doesn't receive the mother's nursing. So at this point then, we've come to the end of our long question. Our Mishnah says that a woman is obligated to nurse the child, and it would then seem that our Mishnah does not conform to Beishamai. The Gemara says, Afilu Teimo Beishamai, we can say that our Mishnah is in agreement with Beishamai. Hocha b'mayaskinon, the reason that Beishamai says in this source that we just read that she doesn't have to nurse, Kigon she nodra hi v'kayim lohu. It's a case where the woman had vowed, she vowed not to nurse the child, and the husband seconded the motion. He confirmed her vow. The Kosavri Beishamai, who knows Saint Etzba Bein Shina, when a husband confirms his wife's vow, he is the one who is responsible for the vow. So he's basically foregoing the expectation that his wife should nurse the child. The literal, who knows Saint Etzba Bein Shina, as he puts his finger between her teeth, but it's an expression meaning that it's viewed as the husband's vow. And so he's thereby foregoing the obligation that she otherwise would have had to nurse the child. And our Mishnah is referring to a case where no vows were taken, so that's the original obligation that the woman has to the husband. Ubeis Hillel Savri, in such a case, Beis Hillel holds, he nosna etzba bein shina, that the vow is something that she is responsible for, even though he validated the vow, and she nevertheless is the one responsible for the vow, and she, though, was obligated to, yes, provide the nursing. So that's why Beis Hillel would have said that kaifu minikasa, she's forced to continue nursing, even though a vow was taken. The Gemara asks, if this machlokis Beis Hillel and Beishamai revolves around her vowing and the husband's substantiating it or validating it, then v'niflagu b'ksuba b'alma, let them have their machlokas b'sham b'zillo in ksuba in general. Rashi says v'niflagu b'ksuba b'alma nodra me'lehenos lo. She took a vow not to provide benefit to her husband. V'kayim law, and he validated that vow. Well, b'shamay omrim teitse v'titol suba. That marriage cannot continue, and she should leave and get her ksuba paid. And b'silo omrim teitse b'lo ksuba. She should be divorced without receiving any ksuba. If you present the machlokas b'shamay and b'silo as we did, so it doesn't have to be presented in a very localized, focused form regarding nursing. So the Gemara continues, the Ode, Tanya, and furthermore, it's been taught regarding all women, even without a vow, Beishamay Omrim Ein No Menika. If she doesn't want to nurse, she doesn't have to, even in the absence of a vow. So to explain that Beishamay said before that that she doesn't have to provide the nursing, and we explained it's because the husband validated the vow. That's not true. That's not accurate. Beishamay says even without his without her vowing, without the husband validating her vow, she does not have to provide that service. Elo machvarto masnisa delok beishamay. It rather appears that our mission is simply not like Beis Shammai. The Mishnah said, im hoya makira, that we saw, I should say, in this, not in the Mishnah, but in this Tanaic source, regarding the husband who divorced his wife, if the child, though, recognizes the mother doesn't want a nurse from anyone else, so then he pays her, and she has to nurse the child. The Gemara continues at the top of Samach Amud Aleph, Ad Kama. That means, from what age would an infant start recognizing his mother? And at what age would we say that this is a serious consideration? Omar Rava, Omar Rav Yirmiyahu Bar Abba, Omar Rav, Shloishu Chadoshim, at 3 months of age. Ushmuel Omar Shloishim Yoim. You'll see that why we have this marked off with a dashed underline, and there's an aleph in a diamond. We'll appreciate that marking later. Shmuel says shloishim yom, at 30 days of age, and Rabbi Yitzchok Amar Rabbi Yochanan chamishim yom, at 50 days of age. On the side, we have a nosei, a topic heading. Amrinon, we say the antinok makir esimo veinaroit zelonik meacheres he chayavis lanikoi. From what age does he recognize her? And we've already seen three opinions. 3 months, 30 days, and 50 days. The Gemara continues, Bishlam Rav Rabbi Yochanan, as far as the first opinion and the third opinion, Kol Chad V'Chad Ki Churfei, these are reasonable ages, and each child, according to its intelligence, Churfei, its sharpness. There's some children that at 50 days will recognize their mothers, and some children takes longer, till 90 days, till 3 months. And Shmuel ki I gavna mi mishkachasla, but Shmuel's age, 30 days, a child who reaches 30 days of age at that early point, a child is going to be able to say, to distinguish between his mother and another woman, and thereby, as we described before, will not accept nursing from other women because he recognizes his mother. He also Rami Bar Yecheskel Omar, when Rami Bar Yecheskel came, he said, "Lo tatzisinu lahani kloli dekayel Yehuda achi mishmei d'Shmuel." Don't listen to those principles or rules that my brother Rav Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel. In other words, we didn't see Rav Yehuda's name in the Gemara, but we can assume that the 30-day statement that Shmuel was purported to have made was information that we got from Rav Yehuda. So Romi Bar Yecheskel says, don't listen to the rules that he says in the name of Shmuel. Don't listen to my brother Reb Yehuda who says these things in the name of Shmuel. Rather, Hochi Amar Shmuel, and that's why now you can see we have a diamond with the base. Rather, thusly says Shmuel, Kol Zman Shemakira. There's no fixed time. All Shmuel said that whenever a child recognizes his mother and refuses to nurse from someone else, so then the aforementioned rule will apply. And now we have a little story of a woman divorced that does not want to nurse her child. Hahi da asoy lekame d'Shmuel, a woman like that, divorced, that came with an infant, and the case came to Shmuel. Omar le l'Ravdimi bar Yosef. Shmuel says to Ravdimi, Zil baka, go check it out. Meaning, Rashi says, in Makira, does the infant recognize the mother? Ozal Oisva Bedori Dinoshi. He took the mother and set her up in a lineup with other women. Vishakle Livrov Mikhadir Le Alayoni. And Ravdimi took the infant and started passing the child, carrying the child in front of the women set up in the row, passing one by one. Kimoto Legabo Havis Komasvi Lapo. When the infant was brought to the actual mother, The infant started to look, masvi, to look at her face. Kavashtini la'eino mine, and the mother turned her eyes away, like hid her face. She turned away from the child. Omar lo, so Ravdimi said, Ravdimi bar Yosef said, netaf einayach kum dori brech, lift up your eyes and carry your child. It means you've got to take care of him. The Gemara asks, suma meno yoda, a child, an infant at that age, doesn't have refined sight. So based on what does the child recognize the mother? Omar Rav Ashi, Berecho V'taima. There's a smell, a scent, and there's a taste that the child is able to pick up on and recognize through those senses. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.